Well,
should we do our weeks or should we just get into it? Because I feel like, I don't know, do people listen to that part? Do they enjoy that?
I don't know. I mean, I can't speak for the people, but...
Yeah, can y'all let us know if you enjoy when we talk about our weeks at the beginning of the episode, if you'd rather we just get into it?
Yeah.
Because we'll do it for this one, and then, yeah, your feedback will be appreciated.
Yeah. I love hearing about when people talk about their weeks, but that's just me.
Oh, fair enough. Okay.
Yeah.
My window is open. I'm sorry. I'm just getting high because I need to for what we're about to talk about. Like, I usually try to wait till at least after 12, but you know what?
No.
Time is a construct.
The world is
dying.
This conversation, we need to be a little bit unsober for.
We're going to be here for a little while, y'all, so you better strap in. Like, this is going to be... I'm a pretty intuitive person, I like to think, from time to time. This is going to be juicy. This is going to be that good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
I mean, without spoiling too much about what we're going to be talking about in a bit, how was your week? What have you been feeling? What feelings have you overcome?
Okay, hold on one second.
What feelings have I overcome?
Have you confronted any feelings? Is that a yop?
Realize, yeah, I fucking love yop.
Same.
Mm-hmm. Give me yop, me mama sue yop. God, was that appropriation? It was.
100%.
Okay. My window is closed. What have I been feeling this week and going through? I overcame a bit of loneliness earlier because I was seeing some of my friends in different parts of the world coming together, like meeting up after not seeing each other for a while, just a couple. And I was like, oh, I miss my friends. Because I live in Montreal and like I've made friends here that I really love and appreciate for sure, but it's just... you know when you have people that know you, have known you for a long time?
Yeah.
I just don't really have that here besides my sister, so I'm just like, mom. But then I talked to my friend Caitlin, and she was also feeling kind of the same, so we were both just chatting, and it was really nice. So, yeah, that's something I overcame this week. In general, I'm feeling very, like, my energy is to myself for myself. Very determined in that way because I just have a lot of plans that I'm trying to prepare for and a lot of stuff that I need to like focus on. And so I'm just being really mindful of where I exert my energy. I become a bit of a hermit, but I'm okay with it because I'm kind of like, when I know that there's like an end goal in mind, I know that I can just put my head down, work, and like figure out stuff. That was very elusive, I guess. Very, like, shadowy, but yeah. Anyway, that's how I've been feeling, and what else has gone on this week? My little brother is actually coming to live with me for a month or so, because he's moving to Montreal, so that'll be fun.
Oh, he's moving there?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's fun. I love Abdu. He's so funny. Him and I just get along so well and like just joke around because I'm basically a 16-year-old boy apparently. So
is that how old he is?
No, he's 21.
Oh, okay, I was gonna say.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we just like see each other like, hey twin, what up, twin? Like we just both are like stupid together. Like I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah,
I'm like 9 years older than him, but it's just so fun. Oh, so fun. So I'm excited about that. And Lydia and I have just been hanging out, and it's been really nice. And I'm just like falling in love with her.
Like, oh.
At the vet, they were like, okay, can you drop her off around this? I was like, wait, I'd have to drop her off and leave her overnight? I was like, this is how mothers feel. No, she can't go.
Yeah.
Settle down, Khadija.
Well, no, that is also... If you feel that way, that's totally fine. That's how I feel about my cat, honestly. Whenever I left to travel, I always felt really sad about leaving her behind. Yeah, no, I know how you feel.
Like, if I go away for more than, like, a month, she's coming with me.
That makes sense.
I've decided that because I just can't. Like, I just love her.
Lydia. Anyway, you know that, wait. Before we talk about my week, you know those, like, corny-ass posts that parents make when they talk about their kid and they're, like, or, like, they adopt a child. Okay, maybe it's not corny. And then they're like...
Oh, it's not corny because they adopted it. Before, it was corny. When a woman sacrificed... Not just a woman. When a person sacrificed their whole body. Titties hurting. Back hurting. Feet swollen. Face swollen.
Okay, my bad. Everything. My bad.
Titties dry. Shitting on the table.
Stretch marks.
Split open.
Yeah.
And it's more noble when they adopt it. And I'm saying that as someone who doesn't want to have kids and wants to adopt.
Literally. I even forgot what I was talking about. That's fine.
I forgot what you were talking about, too. I'm not going to lie. Oh, it's those corny posts.
Those corny posts where parents are like, she saved me as much as I saved her. Or, like, something like... No, I'm so...
She saved me, just like I saved her. The baby is like, I'm literally just a baby.
The baby's like, why is there so much pressure on me right now?
Like, girl, what? How was your week, though?
My week was pretty good. Let me think about it. Yeah, my week was pretty good. So, when you had texted me about feeling lonely, I thought about the friendships that I've made in the city and how I wanted to make more, because I feel like I'm at the point in my life where I've let go of a lot of things, so I can make space for new things to come in. And I made a connection with someone very organically and very unexpectedly as well. And I just love like a new and burgeoning friendship. So we'll see how that goes. And I'm kind of scared. Like, that's so scary. That is so scary.
Why is it
to
scary?
Like, well,
it's scary to put the pressure on it, I guess, or to like acknowledge it.
Yeah. But also, it's scary because I feel like building friendships is so much about being vulnerable with new people. Mm-hmm. So that's like the part that I'm scared about. But work has been good. I've been settling into a new job and I really enjoy what I do. And oh my God, wait, I forgot to tell you this. Okay, so while I was working... Someone came in and was like, I listened to your podcast.
No. That's a lie.
I'm dead serious. Laika, if you're listening to this, hey, girl. I see you.
Hey, Laika. Thank you. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Crazy. We had a whole conversation and she was... telling me how she really enjoyed the... I think she said it was the childhood/parenting episode that she really enjoyed. And I was like, damn, girl.
Okay.
You chose that one? All right. I'm like...
it's a tie.
Yeah.
We used to do that at work, Caitlin and I, any single time, because we had yellow ties that we had to wear at the restaurant.
Yeah.
So something awkward would happen, I'd be like,
No, literally. So it was really nice to run into someone in public, and they were like...
Did they just say, oh, I recognize your voice, wait...
Yeah, sort of. So there was like a whole backstory, but if I were to reveal too much of it, it would, like, you guys would find out what I do for a living, and I am unfortunately, or fortunately, not at the place where I feel like I can disclose that or want to right now. So, yeah, basically. She, like, walked in, there was an interaction, and then she mentioned leftover millennials, and I was like, okay, wait a second. Okay, so I was totally riding that wave for, like, the whole week. So, yeah, like, a high. Yeah. So, my week was pretty good. My week was pretty good.
Nice.
I have not stopped listening to that woman's album.
Yeah, not that
I
one.
I am so angry.
It's great to walk to. I do listen to it when I'm walking a lot. Like, that. I'm now listening to the second half. Because before I was only repeating songs 1 through 7. And now, or 1 through 8, I guess. Nope, Church Girl. Yeah, because Church Girl was a bop. And then I'd restart from the beginning after Church Girl. So now I've been listening to the last end. And when I hear move out of the way. When Grace is like, how many times may I have to say? I'm like, girl, how many times do I gotta tell you? And also, when she's like, my name, I don't need to call him. I don't need no phone, yeah. I just, oh my God. That and then heat it. It's just so good.
Okay, this is Renaissance Part 2.
Cool down, heating. Okay, sorry, yeah, we're not doing that.
But what we are doing is we're going to be adding reverb on top of all of that. So,
I
also got another email about, and someone was like, let the men do the reverb. So,
fine.
Thank you.
Fine, y'all. Whatever. You know what? Whatever.
I'm slowly building a stand-up. I'm joking. I'm kidding. Don't do that.
Please.
Don't do that.
Oh my God.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. But if we were to...
I hate you.
Have you ever thought about what your stand-in would be called if you were to ever...
I actually haven't.
No?
Because I was... Yeah, I thought we stopped doing that, one, and two. I just don't...
Drag me.
Sorry.
Okay.
I didn't mean it. You see why I need to go get tested anyway, because I just be saying shit and I'm like, I didn't anyway. I thought we weren't doing that. Oh, now I hear it. Okay, sorry, that was rude.
I was like, okay, damn,
I'm bad at social.
No, you're
sometimes.
Fine.
I can't remember what I was about to say. Oh yeah, no, I just, yeah, I don't think because I'm thinking about it now, and I really don't know. It's just not my personal brand. It's just not my energy. If people started doing that, I'd be like, please stop.
Like, please stop. Yeah, totally, totally, totally.
If y'all have in common is that you like my stuff, that's great. But find more things that you can have in common with each other and build genuine, organic friendships off of that. Because, I don't know, stand-ups to me, like...
Wait, that was so wholesome. Hold on. That was beautiful.
Yeah, because stand-ups to me, it's kind of like when two pretty girls see each other and they're like, oh my God, you're pretty, I'm pretty, let's hang out. And then you realize you don't have anything in common other than that, and then they stab each other in the back. I'm using this as an example because I've been watching a lot of reality TV, and that's the trope that they like to use. This isn't just
a
test.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? Anyway,
yeah,
it's just very surface level, and I'm like, stand-ups to me... It's not bad surface level because you find a community with people that you can talk to about the same thing that you like.
Yeah.
But just know that it's that thing. It's not, it's not everything
more?
Else that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not everything else and you as a person. Anyway, this doesn't
matter. Yeah, yeah. No, no, no.
Stand-ups.
Oh my God, we totally can. Wait, I'm going to write that down. Okay, yeah.
let's take a break. This is going to be.
I need a break, I need a cigarette, and I need a drink. It is it is noon.
we started at 11.
This one's gonna be a little doozy, as they say. Doozy on a grande.
Doozy on a grande! Never heard that.
I just love turning her name into, like, things. Like... Like, what else can you do? Like, if you hit snooze, okay, snooze on a grande. It works with a lot. Like,
we're gonna go on break. We'll see y'all in a minute.
Be right back.
Move out the way. I'm with my girls and we all need space. When the queen comes through, party like the Red Sea. Move out the way. How many times? Sorry.
And I'm the stand? What?
I just like to check myself.
Yeah.
I have to check myself, you know? I like to be measured. But yes, I am a Beyonce stan, okay? Actually, I can't call myself a stan. I'm a huge fan. I'll say that.
I would say. If you can label yourself a huge fan, you're a stan.
Okay, but I just feel like I don't know as much about her as you and Travis do. Like,
oh, that's fine.
Y'all, I was like, I'm not this level.
There's her
in public, yes. She is my anti-capitalist billionaire queen. I'm very aware. That's what keeps me in check. But at the same time, like, I don't know what y'all know. Y'all were scaring me.
I open a trapdoor in my apartment. There's, like, red string everywhere. Just pictures of Beyonce.
I was about to say, I was so scared that all of a sudden I was just going to hear, FBI, FBI, in both of your apartments. Like, no, no. God. I just closed my laptop.
They're like, we got him. So, if I want to listen to Summer Renaissance, I have to listen to the whole album.
Stan behavior.
Fucking yeah.
Stan behavior.
It's so bad. Like, fuck.
But this is, I think, my favorite album of hers.
Absolutely. This woman has me in a chokehold.
This is incredible. It's my favorite album. It's incredible. All the ways the songs, like, have an A section, a B sec. Like, I don't know. They're just... Yeah.
This really is just part two. I've tried to listen to... What?
Oh, sorry. No, go ahead.
No, I forgot.
I, made a friend in class.
Okay.
Belen, she's... French-Canadian, but, like, Latina as well. And we always see each other in class and stuff. And she's so, like, petite and just has really great energy and stuff. And I don't know what we were talking about hanging out somewhere. And she was like, oh, yeah, a lot of my friends in the ballroom scene. I was like, oh, my God, really? And so we were just talking about that. I was like, I used to do balls in Calgary. And I was telling her about, like, Laomi and Danielle. And she was like, oh, my God, what? I was like, I know. I, like, that's a new sex siren in front of her. It was blah, 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 blah. And so we were like... kikiing about that. She was like, yeah, a lot of my friends do ball, like, that's what I do. I take ball vogue classes on the weekends and stuff. I was like, oh my God. So her and I exchanged numbers to do that, and then I realized she's 30 as well, and I thought she was so young. She was like, oh, I thought you were younger too. I was like, people tell me that all the time. But yeah, it was really fun. So yeah, we're gonna maybe take some
classes. Yay, maybe that's do fun.
Some voguing and then get into the scene and meet some
that's fun
other queer POCs, because that's really what I want.
Yeah,
that's mainly what I want.
I'm so happy for you. And when you told me that, like, just as you told me that, I just remembered. So, I was invited to an open practice by one of the house mothers, like a Kiki house. And ooh, because...
Kiki houses are the new wave.
Yeah.
The new wave.
Yeah, so... So I met one of the house mothers at a party, a random party, and I was like a little drunk and I was dancing around and she was like,
you got the rhythm. That's it. The raw, like, talent. You see, like, the finger. You got
something. She's like, you got something.
You
see?
You got the raw talent.
Yeah. And then a friend of mine asked me, just recently, what category I would want to walk. And I honestly, I love Butch Queen Femme Vogue Femme so much.
I was like, Butch Queen.
Butch Queen Vogue Femme is literally...
Vogue Femme is one of my favorite things in the world. Like, I would love to be able to, like, do floor performance and do Vogue Femme. Oh, my God. Vogue Femme is just...
Mm. Vogue Femme is probably my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, hey, and then if you took more of the classes, if you come here, we could do a floor work class so you could see.
There you go.
You'll have even more tricks up your sleeve. I'm just saying.
This one is going to be a little bit...
ashy, infuriating?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say there are going to be... We're going to be talking about, like, abuse of multiple kinds. So
lots of trigger warnings.
Lots of trigger warnings. So if this is something that you can't stomach to hear, obviously it's probably not the episode for you. But we are going to be talking about Mr. Andrew Tate.
I fucking can't.
His real name is Andrew Tate, but for this episode, we're calling him Andrew Tate. So just it's a personal creative choice.
It's incredible that you can get away with saying so much more on podcasts. I love it.
Yeah. So we'll get into a little bit of his background, what he stands for and doesn't stand for, what our thoughts are on him. Khadijah, do you know anything about Mr. Andrew Tate?
I went from not knowing a thing about this man to hearing his name everywhere in the span of maybe 3 days to hearing he got banned. I actually don't really know that much about him. I just know that he's a misogynist. He's doing the Kevin Samuels of it all, you know, except I guess maybe white women are the brunt of his anger. Is he from Eastern Europe, I think?
I think so, yeah.
Is bald, has an interesting arrangement of teeth. I'm sorry, that was rude. That was low. Y'all, I'm not above being low sometimes. I apologize. That was low. Actually, I don't apologize. I don't apologize because I've just heard terrible things about him.
No, I'm sorry. We don't apologize.
I'm not going to apologize. No.
No.
Yes.
So Andrew Tate had his start as a kickboxer.
Of course.
And he was actually kind of successful at it.
Doesn't Joe Rogan?
I don't know, but he seems like he would.
No, he hosts MMA or something like that. Like, is an announcer or something. Anyway,
probably. It's just that is such a homoerotic sport anyway. So, I think Andrew got his kind of rise to fame outside of the sports world by joining Big Brother.
What?
And, yeah, he got on Big Brother. Yeah. And... Okay. He was kicked off the show.
Wow, this seems to be a theme. Anyway.
He was kicked off the show because he was having aggressive sex with a woman.
Wait, what?
But they both claim it to be consensual.
What do you mean aggressive? Okay, wait, what?
There was like a belt involved, yeah, it was just like aggressive sex with the woman. And it looked like the producers just wanted him off the show, so they used that as an opportunity to kick him off.
Oh, okay. So things got a little maybe BDSM-y.
Yeah. So things got a little BDSM-y. And
maybe that's not fair to the BDSM community. Things got a little, let's tie up. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, well, he was already a really shitty person on Twitter. So the show, I'm sure the producers were just like, we'll use this as an opportunity to kick him off the show. So he was kicked off of Big Brother. And he moved to Romania to start a brothel with his brother.
Oh my god, okay.
I'm reading this all from Reddit, by the way.
Reddit's the only place any of us trust.
And He also claimed that police is less likely to investigate sexual and domestic abuse in Romania, which is part of the reason why he moved there.
Checks out.
What he actually ran away from were 11 accusations of sexual assault in the UK.
Oh my God. Okay.
So,
again, this episode is not fact-checked, but that seems...
No, it's not fact-checked, but this all checks out.
But the internet is... If you're listening to this, you have access to the internet, so...
Yeah.
Just do your Googles to confirm, but I'm hearing this for the first time, and this is
how wild.
How is he already just run... You know what, Khadija?
He's a white man. He's a white man.
Just continue.
So, this aforementioned e-brothel, it's unclear whether or not they're paying their models.
Models is in heavy quotations, I assume.
Yeah. And they may or may not be there by their own accord, it says.
Mm, that's why models is in heavy, heavy quotations.
Yeah. So, he's also had his home raided over reports of human trafficking.
That also checks out, based off of everything we're hearing.
And it says here that he has been spotted holed up in a house full of loaded guns with a kid and multiple women who may or may not want to be there in Romania.
Okay, wait a minute. Y'all, that needs some fact checking. That sounds crazy. What? Dennis!
No, this is...
Don't you go to Wikipedia, Dennis. What is going on here?
No, these are all linked out to articles.
Damn. Okay, just kidding. I take it back, Reddit. I'm sorry. How could I have doubted Reddit? I shouldn't have. You know, that's actually not what I should have done. I'm sorry. Because anytime I want to confirm something, I go to Reddit.
There you go. And then there was also... Exactly. So there was also... like that GQ article that was released just like recently. I think it was like in the last last 2 weeks in GQ, and it's a piece titled How Andrew Tate Built an Army of Lonely Angry Men.
Oof, here we go.
Which is in the that is basically, if you were to boil his whole existence down to one sentence, it would be the title of that article. So today we're going to be talking about Andrew Tate and toxic masculinity.
I thought you were just going to say the manosphere. Because, yeah, I've been hearing way too much about it lately. Oh my God.
Yeah. So... I read this about him. So he has about, I think it's around like 170,000 people that buy his monthly subscription. And I think it's just like Yeah, I think it's a newsletter that basically...
10 reasons women suck.
Yeah, it's like Cosmo, but like hating women.
5 ways to get women to be submissive to you.
Literally, yeah, yeah. And
5 ways to get Stacey's. 10 different ways to kill Chad's. Oh, I know some of their lingo, okay?
It's weird. And I think a monthly subscription is £39, which I think that might be around like 55, 60 Canadian. May or may not
be. Yeah, it's almost double, so that makes sense.
Yeah. And... I did the math. That's $8 million a month.
Give or take fees. That's wild.
That is wild. I'm pretty sure.
It brings in the question, okay, if you're making that much money off of just spewing hate about women, because there are plenty of dudes that can get online and maybe only half believe this stuff or fully believe it and are just using it as a way to get their frustration out, but see that it's a way to become popular on the internet, get clout, whatever.
Yeah.
And money and all that shit.
Yeah.
But it's a whole other thing to be making that kind of money and then also running a brothel.
Yeah.
When you have those kinds of... Like, Anyway, continue. I'm sorry.
So, my initial thought about this man after hearing what he's done, what he's said, and like
I don't even know the stuff that he said, to be honest. I actually don't.
It's all over. Like, there's so many sound bites of him just like
saying, I've maybe seen one or two, actually.
Yeah, seeing those, saying the most ridiculous thing about women. So I'm going to read a quote that Mr. Taint has said about.
You were warned.
If a partner ever accused him of cheating. He says, quote, bang out the machete, boom in her face, and grip her by the neck. Shut up, bitch.
All right, that's enough of that.
That is enough. That pained me to say.
Yeah, well, that, yeah.
That was... He's also a firm believer in that women should not be driving.
Okay. Joke's on you. I don't even have a license.
There you go. And, yeah. I don't know. So I just, whenever, when I think about how accessible he is and how sensationalized and how inundated we are by his content, and this is me, like, as a gay man, why it's just crazy that I've come across Andrew Tate's stuff or Andrew Tate content in general, because it's just so far from my sphere. So you can really think about how accessible his content is to, like, children or kids. Yeah, kids who have TikTok and a phone, who can just be like, Andrew Tate, and all of his shit pops up. Because he is primarily known as, like, a motivational speaker.
Oh my god, heavy quotes.
Heavy air quotes around that one.
What? Motivating what? Men to hate women? Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So, there are and have been kids who have looked at his content and who have seen the same kind of, I guess, behavior mimicked in their home, and that kind of stuff is not only normalized, but it's rewarded, even, to a certain degree.
Yeah, by someone like him telling you, like, this is how things are supposed to be. I think with people like him, with men like him specifically, and there are women like him, too, that, I don't know, girl, go with God.
Not I don't know, girl. I don't know, girl.
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you, because I have compassion, because... Okay, but if that's what you want, that's your life. I'm not living your life. Yeah. I'm not gonna overstress myself for somebody that doesn't want help. Like,
yeah.
But I find with men like him, it's so interesting that, like, so much of their lives are centered around the thing they hate. Like, they are obsessed with women. They are obsessed with women. It's like, it's all they think about. It's all they talk about. It's their whole world is to be able to be impressive to women, to be able to dominate women, to be able to be feared by other men. Like, it's just very, I need other people to feel below me because I feel so shitty about myself. And that's so easy to pinpoint, but, like, I don't know. At this point, it's like, the secret's out about men. Everyone is talking about men. Everyone is saying the shit that they want to about men. A lot of women are very angry. A lot of people in general are very angry with men. But, and for good reason. The thing that, like, these platforming these type of men, and, like, I'm shrugging at someone like an Andrew Tate, not necessarily shrugging like, oh, whatever, but shrugging like, this doesn't surprise me because this is Manosphere shit. This is Red Pill shit. This is, which for those of you that don't know, is this, oh, the Matrix. You take the red pill and you're open and you see all the way the world really is. And that's what a lot of these incel-y Manosphere dudes think. You take the red pill and you'll see all that stuff, not realizing that. And this is something I actually learned in a video recently. One, for those of you that don't know, I think a lot of you in the audience will, but for those of you that don't, the Matrix is a metaphor about transness. Mm-hmm. It's about transitioning. And at the time, in the late 90s, early 2000s, estrogen pills were red, were that color. So it's an interesting kind of nod and wink to that too. And a lot of these dudes ironically don't know that that's the origin of that. So that's like a funny little, okay. But anyway, all of this stuff, they're obsessed with women. They're clearly lonely, looking for community. They have clearly been hurt, but instead of trying to see outwards, look beyond themselves, which I don't think a lot of them would be capable of doing or are open to be capable of doing, I should say. Instead of looking outward and seeing that the thing that they should be upset with is that other men have told them that this is how they're supposed to be. Other men have mm-hmm. created this system around them, and a system that does not fit with everyone because people are not a monolith. Just because you are categorized as man does not mean that you're someone that maybe likes hyper-masculine energy or likes dominating whatever. Like, there are so many different aspects of what men can be. Just because there are so many different aspects of what fucking people can be. But anyway, I always say that language is an important tool because it helps us communicate. It helps us understand each other. But it also puts a border around things. And when people start to take those borders as rigid instead of fluid, that's when we get problems. Because you have a group of men that have created this patriarchy, group of wealthy landowning men, let's say, in this part of the world or whatever. But, you know, have created this, and I've talked about this before, of like, if you're someone that's into power and domination and you get that power and domination, you're going to treat your personality traits like the standard and like the thing that should not only be the standard but should be emulated. Other men should want to be like you. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, then you are not a man. And then the sad part is when the rest of us start to believe that too. So then we have a whole world of people telling men how they should be. And I'm going to say women too, because it's two sides. We categorize people into men and women, and then we say women are docile and are in service of men and are the sensitive ones and have the soft skills and like to talk. And we treat those as natural traits. Biology has never confirmed our personality is just a natural thing. No. Yeah, but we treat it like that. And then we say men are power, dominating, all this other stuff. And Terrence Real, I quote him a lot, but he says, where this set up is a capacity for love. Because men are taught to be button-down warriors. You have to be a dominator. You're either in control or being controlled, on top or on the bottom, man enough or a girl. Inherently in that. Patriarchy, inherently in that, is always going to be the hatred of women. Not because it's a full-blown, I fucking hate women. I don't mean it like that. But it's associating women with the lesser than, the second sex, the lesser than. And this is also something that Stuart Hall talks about. It's like, when you have binaries, one is always going to be the lesser than of the other, the subordinate of the other, when you divide things into this or that. So if you say man or woman, one of them is going to be the subordinate of the other. And right now I feel like there's like a gender war happening where women are trying to come up above that. And I'm like, y'all, we got to break that all down completely because that's not helping any of us. It's just going to keep cycling back and forth.
Still like a power struggle. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, this isn't anything new. This happened in the 70s as well. It's probably happened before. Like, it's just, anyway. Andrew Tate. Sorry, I'm going on and on because this is like, I was really interested in gender studies when I was in school. And at first I thought I was going to do criminal deviance for sociology. And then I had a teacher tell me that she was like, you could probably do your master's in gender studies if you want to think about it. And I was like, nah. But it's really interesting to me just the way men like Andrew Tate, and I'm not even going to say men like Andrew Tate first, working, I guess, backwards, men that are, would identify as incels, which also, the incel community was created by a, like, bisexual Canadian woman. And originally, this is what I mean, y'all be stealing everything from queer people, anyway. But she originally came up with it just for a place where people who have never been able to have sex with people have come together, find community online and chat. I think she even tried to later, after she found out what incel was being used for, tried to combat it with something more positive online or something. I don't know. But it became this. But originally, that's not what it was for. And yes, it brings to the question the whole thing about involuntary, because people shouldn't have to have sex with you. Like, that's you thinking you're entitled to sex in the first place. But again, that's what a lot of these young men, unfortunately, have been told, because that's what patriarchy says. It's like, you need to be the best manly man you can be, and if you can't be that man, if you can't be a Chad, as they like to call it in the manosphere apparently, then Stacey's, and this is also, it's very race, talk about it as well, because the types of girls these men want in the, I would say in the incel, white incel community, is very much white women, because in this part of the world, especially, and turning more globally, this lighter skinned, slender features, a slender phenotype, that smaller, can't be too big, you know, that is what apparently woman is, what we've decided it is, and what media perpetuates it to be. So, sorry, I feel like I'm lecturing right now. I'm so sorry.
Continue.
You're so funny. Please. But you have these incels believing that they have to be the best Chads possible in order to get Stacey's, that their whole life revolves around being able to get Stacey's and dominate other Chads. And then in the black manosphere, it's not necessarily that, because black men are hyper-masculated in a certain way.
Right.
You know, if we're, yeah, like, black bodies are, black women are, especially the darker skinned you are, but, like, for black men, it's the thing where you always see, if you see a black couple on TV, the man is usually dark-skinned and the girl is usually light-skinned or biracial. Once you see it, you won't be able to unsee it, I promise you. So, because that's what they think man is. If you're going to have a man in a leading role, a black man, they are dark skinned. They are a man. Online, people were roasting light skinned men for a while. They roast Drake all the time. He's sensitive. He's biracial. In that, it's less, I think, about dominating in the black manosphere. I think it's less about dominating other men, though it can be, and more so about settling even more into that alpha male, manly man energy, but also like having your submissive, not submissive, but also hating and critiquing black women. And it's specifically directed at black women. Like in the white incel community, it's still very racist, because they're like, why do you have to reduce yourself to dating, you know, Asian women and black women? Like, why would you want to do that? Their goal is to get Stacey's, but they also think that they're hot blonde sluts. You know, like it's this fascination to me of how many of these men in both spaces, in all the different manosphere parts that have probably come up in the world, how many of these men don't realize that all of their attention to, like, I don't know, maybe even a bit of self-discovery or self-awareness is misdirected and is completely tuned into a myth. I don't even remember what I was talking about. My Wi-Fi just said bye.
Oh, was your Wi-Fi?
Yeah, it completely cut out.
Damn. That's
okay. It's been happening lately.
That's okay. Well, hope that helped. Oh, wait. That wasn't a thing.
Stop.
But
yeah, like, what do you know about the manosphere or the
nothing
community? What?
I don't know anything about the manosphere. Like, when you said it, I heard it. That was the time. I just heard it for the first time now.
Really?
I am familiar with the incel community.
It is a community.
Yeah.
It's on.
But I don't, like, what is a manosphere? Can you mansplain?
From what I've been learning on the internet, the manosphere is just a space where a lot of men who seem to be obsessed with but hate women go to vent their frustrations, say the most vile shit, find community in that. Some of them be making videos about how to bag high value women. This is Kevin Samuels is one of like these big figures in that space. He died recently and a lot of people were celebrating and a lot of the people were like, oh, it's not right for you to celebrate. When people are dead, they're dead. So, and he was made his money off of humiliating black women specifically. So, as far as I'm concerned, bye. Good riddance. Anyway, that was rude. That was so rude, but like, he's dead. He's not, like, he's dead. It's, anyway.
What's he gonna do, haunt me?
I'm very ambivalent to it because I'm just like, he's dead. Not me. But, no, like, that's a lot of their game. Like, and a lot of these dudes realize they can make money off of that. But something that, one of these videos that I was talking about pointed out was, like, a lot of the guys watching this content don't look like the guys in these videos. Like, these alpha male types. These super hyper masculine attractive men, at least in, I guess, the black manosphere space. I'm not sure about with the incels and all of that, but there just seems to be a lot of anger in that community about the fact that, like, it's giving very I was told by AppleCare, except I was told by patriarchy that if I bought into this idea of masculinity and I did what I could to get it, that I could get girls. And I'm realizing that I can't do that, or that's not me, or the girls don't want me, and I don't look like that. Like, some of these dudes will talk about getting surgery to look more masculine. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of insecurity. And it's like they bought into this, or were told they had to, and it was confirmed in the world around them when they maybe asked girls out and they made fun of them or were like, ew, no. Or whatever, not saying it's these girls' faults, these young men decided to go to the extreme reaction. But everybody responds to things differently. And some people respond in extreme ways. But one could even say these men are hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
They're very emotional. You don't speak like this. Go online every day obsessed with this part of the population if you're not a little like, girl, you good? Like, this isn't a good look, sis. And a lot of these young men can maybe even get girls. But it's not, again, as I was saying, the kind of girls they want. They want the quote-unquote Stacys. Mm. And the Stacys don't want them because they don't look like the quote-unquote Chads. And they're trying to do all these things to get like Chad, not realizing they're probably never going to be like Chad. And that's okay. And you can actually, in this world, find people that are for you if you take the time to, I don't know, invest in yourself. Which is hard to do for a lot of people because a lot of us are just surviving. But, I don't know, with this community, it just seems like they're targeting the easiest target that they have right now, right? Like, instead of trying to talk and target the wealthiest men in this world that are making these standards, you have to be a dominator and an asshole to climb up the ladder in business. You got to be a fucking dick. Like, you know what I mean? Like, all this stuff, it's just like, instead of being upset with those people or trying to work with women and other folks in their communities, they're pissed at women and taking it out on women. And the Stacys aren't the ones that are going to be getting the brunt of their ire. It's going to be the rest of us. Unfortunately. Sometimes it will be the Stacys, but a lot of times it won't be. Because clearly these men don't even have access to them. It's just very fascinating. I, God. Like, it's weird when you feel like you can see things so clearly, but like...
Yeah, like, there's a veil that other people... Like, it's... Yeah, there's like a curtain, even. That's just...
Opaque.
You just, yeah. And to tie it back to his accessibility, like, the accessibility to him, I also read somewhere that he's actually not that active on TikTok, but his clips are everywhere. So that, it's just, people engage with his content because they either... It's, like, so hot or so cold. Like, it's like, yes, I agree with what you're saying. And also...
Like, it's also these on these websites. I'm sorry. It's on these websites at this point. We can't keep saying, like, it's fine. And I know there are certain laws and things that have happened that are the reason websites can't be blamed for what people post. But there needs to be a bit more regulation. And I know that's scary. Because the minute you say regulation, a lot of times... They just end up shadow banning queer creators and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, that's the regulation. They hide our content and then everyone else still gets to do stuff. So I understand the need for carefulness. It's just like, this is a very extreme person, clearly. This is somebody who is actively trying to talk people into doing violent things, who hates women, does not care about women, obviously has a tumultuous relationship with them and is obsessed with them and doesn't know how to I don't fucking know his life. Actually, he might just be a shitty person. I'm willing to concede that there are some people that, like, due to extreme amounts of trauma, maybe lots of brain injuries, he was kickboxer, who knows, like, some people just end up, the brain gets mushed up a little too much and they're past the point of redemption. Some people, I don't know what to do with them, honestly. But some of these platforms need to start figuring it out. Because if you can shadow ban Black creators for just telling the truth on a Tuesday, then I'm sure you can figure out a way to stop presenting his videos all over this platform. Because he is explicitly, explicitly saying you should harm, hurt, beat, abuse, probably rape, assault, all of these things, women. Like, on the side, when it comes to the side of women versus, I guess, free speech on TikTok. TikTok has chosen free speech. Allegedly. Actually, when it comes to the side of misogynist versus protecting the women and young girls that are on their platform, TikTok chose Andrew Tate.
TikTok chose violence, yeah.
TikTok literally chose violence. And on top of that, y'all had a lot of smoke for Maimouna Dukure and Cuties being mad that she was using actual kids and stuff. But what, at what age did you decide, like, think about, again, because you have to tell men this, think about your daughter or your sisters.
Ooh, I don't like
that. At what age, yeah, you have to do that because they have no other way of humanizing women. What? Y'all think I'm so nice. That's the thing. I'm like, y'all think I'm so nice to men. I'm nice to men to an extent. Like...
Yeah.
But they, it's like, what age did your daughter stop being your daughter and started being some woman worthy of sexual objectification? People were really upset about that movie. Had a right to be because some of the directorial choices were questionable. But had so much smoke for this woman, they ran her off the internet. Meanwhile, someone like Andrew Tate is talking about wanting to kill and harm women. And yeah, they ban him off of platforms, but his clips are still going everywhere on TikTok. You can still find his stuff everywhere. It feels a lot of the time to me like people want to talk around the thing without talking about the actual thing. And when something is confronting them about the actual thing, they get mad and uncomfortable. Because mm-hmm. if cuties was using 10-year-olds, oh my God. If cuties was using 18-year-olds that look like 11-year-olds or something, maybe it would have had the same effect, but it also wouldn't have because, and people were like, well, it could have just been a documentary. I'm like, yeah, maybe it could. I'm not saying I agree with how she did it, but I am saying that what she did was still important. And people were mad about it in this part of the world, because people in Senegal, people in France, a lot of people there were not upset. In this part of the world, where people like to act holier than thou, people were upset that she would use actual children. But y'all don't really give a fuck about these kids that you're talking about, just like you don't give a fuck about these women.
It's also like a very it's a very selfish way of thinking that the States is like the...
That's the other thing too. I'm like, many people in many parts of the world did not have the same feeling y'all did. Like,
yeah,
it's very U.S. is it essentialist, I guess? I don't know. It's just very essentialism, maybe. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah.
But all that to say, when the things that, like, people just like to pick and choose when they want to stand up for something and when they don't. And clearly, Andrew Tate is someone that is speaking to a lot of these young men. There's also the element of, we've had a long, not a long time, it's not been that long, but like a decade of men are trash online and dragging them for filth. And so I think maybe there are some men that who would already be susceptible to this kind of extremism, hearing that and then being pushed further and further into the fringes. And then someone like an Andrew Tate or the incel community of the manosphere, whatever, they find that and they find people that quote unquote get them. Or maybe it's extreme at first, but radicalization online is very chill. Like, the algorithms know how to slowly get you into a hole. And they do it well if you're not paying attention. Sorry, this is so all over the place. But I just, yeah, it's a breeding ground for radicalization. And this community, this group of men, is a very radical group. And I really want us to acknowledge the threat inflation that's happening, because they're so visible online. It makes it seem like all men are like this. And I really want us to be careful about that, because that's just going to keep further dividing us, not just online, but in the real world.
Well, that was the radicalization corner for this week.
That wasn't radical. Was it radical?
No. Was it? It was radical on the Andrew Tate side.
The radical side, I would say, is, I don't know, understand that, oh God, not all men are like Andrew Tate, but a good portion, a lot of men, probably all men, have bought into all men, because all of us to an extent have bought into this, some element of patriarchy to some degree.
100%.
They're not all as extreme as Andrew Tate,
but all at the same time benefit from, yeah.
Well, yeah. Y'all don't. Do you think you benefit from patriarchy, like, in the long term?
In the long term, no, but I feel like I have, yeah.
Well, yeah, but like, I'm talking about, like, you're probably one of the most sensitive people I know. It's not a bad thing, no. But like, I don't know very many guys that are like that, gay or straight.
True.
And you're not like petite. All right, Dennis. All right.
What about now?
All right. You know, like, I don't know. I just wonder, like, do you feel like there's a certain kind of masculinity you have to put on?
For sure.
But what does it look like? Like, what, how would you describe it? How would you name it?
I don't think I could put a name to it, but it's very, like, because I am very masculine presenting, mm-hmm. and I always have been. My personality has always been, like, I've always been a very sensitive individual and a very, especially sensitive to other people's emotions as well. And it's just the way that I carry myself I don't think is very masculine, air quotes, mm-hmm. or what the qualities of masculine should be. I think especially the way that I talk as well, I feel like also, yeah, I don't know. I also just took a hit of this, so. Sorry. I don't know where I was going with that, but yeah, I've always been masculine presenting, and I feel like I've benefited from it.
How so?
Like, I wouldn't... when I'm walking alone at night, like, people yell faggot at me, but not as much as if I were to be, like, a femme-presenting person, you know? Mm. So those are ways in which I've benefited from the patriarchy. Like, I've not had to deal with that kind of, like, stuff you would get normally if you were a femme-presenting individual.
Okay. So there's an element of safety.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what's interesting about that? Is that when I was doing research before for a few videos on masculinity and all that stuff, the only category, and maybe this is just Canada, but the only category where women outnumbered men in terms of violent crime was sexual assault. Everything else was men are usually the victims of that by other men. So when you say that, I understand what you mean, but I also kind of laugh to myself because I think when I look at the numbers, actually, men are more likely to get hurt or robbed or something like that by other men.
By another man, yeah.
Or just in general. Like, if a woman is going to be attacked, usually it's by someone she knows, and it's where we outnumber men is sexual assault and abuse and stuff like that. And I also probably suspect that the margin would be a little bit, like, we'd still outnumber men, but it wouldn't be as much if more men were able to come, like, the stigma were able to come forward.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I the reason that I asked you that was because I do believe that there are elements of truth to that, 100% of, like, you're able to walk around and be a bit safe, or people might take your opinion more seriously than a woman's,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, the little and big ways that, like, treating women like the second sex comes in, those little ways that it creeps in, right? Treating anyone that's not a man, how that comes in. But I also sometimes think, like, the patriarchy on the grandest scale only really benefits the men that are in charge, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like a social, political, like, not completely, maybe more in the political realm. I don't know. Maybe this isn't a fully fleshed out thought, y'all. Sorry. This is, if you have more thoughts on this, please let me know. But I'm all about, like, people coming together, not using the divide and rule strategy that so many, like, a colonial tool of, like, separating people. And when I look at this incel stuff and then the men are trash and all of this, I just see so much divide. And I understand why it's there. I get it. But, I mean, I've spent this whole time talking about why the men are not okay. But at the same time, I can acknowledge that and then also, Like, get that frustration out, vent it out, and then be like, okay, but now what do we do about this? Because the men's is, for the most part, it seems like, I don't know. It seems like, and you can tell me if I'm wrong or right about this. I don't know if it's a different experience being a gay man online. But it seems like men are flocking to these communities because they're not just rooted in maybe hating women, but also like afraid of women and don't know how to engage when they see stuff like men are trash or we gotta stop the men are garbage, fuck men, blah 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 blah.